And welcome to the Board of Public Works. Today is September 1st, 2010, in the great state of Maryland. And glad you all are here. We have an agenda that we believe we can move through in a pretty expeditious manner. We have a tribute at the beginning of the Secretary's agenda, which we will get to right off the bat. But before we do, I'd like to ask the Treasurer, the Comptroller, if they have some opening comments.
I will say only briefly that we did have the opportunity to meet the new incoming president of the University of Maryland College Park last week, Dr. Lowe, and we certainly all welcome him. To thank his predecessor, Dr. Moat, the present president, for the great progress that College Park has made in the last 12 years under his leadership, and look forward very much to Dr. Lowe, Ms. Lowe, coming to College Park very soon. And then I had the opportunity to go up to Baltimore and have lunch with Dr. Kerman, the new president of the University of Maryland at Baltimore, and a great new change. Thanks to his predecessor, but very exciting for the university as we look ahead. So for higher education, this last month has been tremendously exciting, and really gives you a sense to appreciate the importance of higher education in not only the social life but the economy of our state as a whole.
I walked the campus of College Park on move-in day.
Yeah.
With Dr. Lowe, and there must have been 20 students that came up and said, you know, of course, blew right by me and went to Dr. Lowe and said, your speech yesterday was great.
Yeah. So, it's a great story.
I've asked them to send me the text of that orientation speech. The kids really thought it was off the hook good.
And I will say the campus has never looked better.
Mr. Comptroller.
Yes. I haven't met Dr. Lowe, but I'm looking forward to it. It's described in the newspaper as a youthful 65, and anyone who's over 60 knows that that's a great phrase, great adjective to have associated with your age. But I do want to just recognize, Governor, you mentioned it's now September, that most of the kids have returned to school either last week or certainly this, probably even the week before. And it's great that they're going back to the nation's best school system, and that they're going to be learning from the most talented group of administrators and teachers of any state in the country. I will say that my office released the final closeout numbers for fiscal year 2010 this morning. And the good news is that we managed to outperform the catastrophic revenue projections, frankly, that we had been living under by almost $184 million. Which, coupled with our previous fund balance and other transfers, has generated a total fund balance of $344 million.
That's great.
That is not just great. It's a great sense of relief to us, because, and Governor, I'm sure to you, because the figures have been truly devastating. I do want to keep them in context, however, because despite the fact that we have a fund balance that you'll read about in the papers, we finished fiscal year 2010 with negative revenue growth of 3.7%. That's the third worst performance in more than 40 years. Just to put that in perspective, we're suggesting that we'll have 3.6% growth in the year that we're in right now. That's a positive, but it's still very weak. And just think about the impact on the revenues of going down 3.7%. Anyone who thinks that we can just kind of grow out of this is mistaken, and they should, you know, stop crossing their fingers and hoping. We would have to grow at a rate of 14% state revenues for the next four straight years in order to get back to where we were before all of this recession happened. The economy remains weak and exceedingly volatile. It's a national phenomenon. Some would hope, I guess, that we would be well into the recovery. Nationally, we aren't. Housing and job markets have not stabilized. People who say that consumers and investors are regaining their old sense of confidence and that we're going to get back into the growth phase, we simply have to face reality. Existing home sales in July collapsed nationally, down 27%, lowest level in over 15 years. New home sales nationally fell in July, 12.5%, the lowest level ever recorded in history. We face, at the national level, historic job losses. Just a couple of weeks ago, 500,000 Americans filed for unemployment benefits, highest weekly total in 9 months. Maryland is better off than other states. Our unemployment rate is 7% versus 9.5% for the country. But all of these unemployment figures are, as we know, grossly understated. They don't include many who have dropped out of the job market, are unemployed or underemployed because of, or frankly, are terrified of losing the job they have. And when that happens, when people don't feel financially secure, they don't spend, it affects everything from home builders and realtors, business owners and retailers. We're dependent on the health of the job and the housing markets, and neither has proven capable of recovering without aid from the federal government, in fact, artificial aid. The national recovery that everyone had hoped for is losing momentum by the minute. There are now credible economists raising plausible concerns about a double-dip recession. In order to survive this new age of austerity that all of us find ourselves in, our businesses and our families are tightening their belts. They're eliminating wasteful spending. They're finding new and innovative ways to do more with less. And I believe that all of us who serve within state government must be ready to follow their lead. It's in that spirit, I think, that the governor made some incredibly difficult decisions in recent years, including bringing more than $1 billion worth of service cuts to this board over the past 3 years. So it's with realization of the challenges and risks ahead that all of us, including this board, the General Assembly, and our partners in federal and local governments, have to work and recommit ourselves to the concept of fiscal responsibility and fiscal discipline in these very vulnerable times. Thank you, Governor.
Mr. Comptroller, thank you. And to see the revenues exceed forecast is certainly a great first step. And I just wanted to add to your observations that we have now had in Maryland 5 months in a row of positive job growth. That is the first time we have had 5 months in a row of positive job growth in 4 years. Secondly, our new unemployment claims were down 14% from July to June. And if you look at July compared to January, new unemployment claims are down 25%. Our rate of new job growth over these last 5 months is three times the national rate of job growth, and it is two times what our neighbors in the Commonwealth of Virginia have been able to do. And later today, I think all of us are going to cut a ribbon on Science City, part of the wishbone offense, Baltimore and Washington suburbs, on our biotech and life science industries, which has moved up as it continues to create jobs through this recession from fourth place ranking to second place ranking in the Milken Institute. So we had our tech sector created more jobs last year than any tech sector in the country. And Forbes magazine predicts that three states' economies will grow this year, one being North Dakota, the other being Virginia, and the other being Maryland. So it's a time for Maryland to step up and to be a leader and to move into recovery. And hopefully the good work of your office, Mr. Comptroller, and this closeout from last year, the good work of the Treasurer's office and using that AAA bond rating to its maximum effect for greater fiscal responsibility, $5.6 billion in cuts we've made so far, and the cutting and the tough choices that we've shown ourselves capable of will equip us well as we hope to emerge out of this storm and into the future. Speaking of storms, we are watching very closely Hurricane Irma. it's hard to use these weather metaphors for the economy anymore, isn't it? Because you don't know where you're beginning with an economic metaphor and leaving off with a Pepco outage. Well, we are watching Hurricane Earl. It is tracking about 150, 200 miles off our coast. There will probably be a fair amount of beach damage and erosion. Travelers and vacationers should keep an eye on this and avoid, if at all possible, traveling during the height of this weather event, when emergency services will no doubt be strapped with some low-lying flooding and other things. So this should be coming in, and early Friday morning, 1 a.m.-ish, I think, is when it's scheduled to roll in. We're rooting for a front that's coming across the United States and hoping that it gets here a little bit in advance of Earl and pushes it further out to sea. The good news is that most all the forecasters say once it's gone, it's going to be a beautiful sunny weekend in Ocean City. Though you might want to stay out of the surf, because it will be a very, very rough surf, but it will, once it passes, as often happens in the aftermath of a hurricane, it will be sunny skies and beautiful weather down there for the balance of the weekend. Now, we have a tribute to Frank Oslisla, who's a great man who ran our open space program. And is that on the Secretary's agenda?
It is item 10 on the Secretary's agenda. Secretary Griffin from the Department of Natural Resources is here. I'll quickly say that we have 15 items on the Secretary's agenda. We have 7 reports of emergency procurements. But again, item 10 is the noteworthy, remarkable item today.
And I believe Frank's family is here as well.
Yes, Governor, they are. Good morning, board members. John Griffin, Department of Natural
Resources. I'm sorry, Speaker of the House, Mike Floyd.
Okay, Assistant Secretary of State.
Where were you sitting, Mike? Why didn't I see that? Okay.
In any case, the Speaker and I are here to introduce this item to the board today, item number 20 on the Secretary's agenda, the naming of the Merkel, the Visitor Center of Merkel Wildlife Sanctuary, which is, if you've been there, a beautiful spot way down in southern Prince George's County near Croom on the Patuxent River. It's really hard to believe that Frank left us a little less than 2 years ago, but I'm sure he's looking down with a big smile on his face today, going to the gym in heaven to play basketball. as this item describes, and is no secret to the board, Frank was a constant presence here for years, giving you good information and good advice. And
and a bill signing.
Pardon me?
And a bill signing. A wonderful
right.
Voice.
Right. Frank was a man for all seasons. And during his 30-year career, as the board item mentioned, you might say, why Merkel? He headed a unit which oversaw some of our unique properties. This was one of them. As you may know, Merkel is named after Edgar Merkel, who was the founder of Merkel Crest in Washington, D.C., a great conservationist. He wanted to see migratory Canada geese on the western shore in 1932, arranged to have a breeding pair on property down there, which is now the sanctuary. And over the years, that's become a haven for migratory geese from Canada, totaling anywhere between 4,000 and 5,000 geese a year during the winter months. Before introducing Frank's lovely wife Nancy, I wanted to turn the mic over to my Assistant Secretary Mike Bush.
I just hope you approve all the projects for Anne Arundel County as Assistant Secretary or the Governor, the Comptroller, and Madam Treasurer. I'm here basically point of personal privilege to talk a little bit about Frank, who was a great friend to all of us. He was a friend to me long before I was in elected office. Matter of fact, when I first came here, I used to play basketball down at the Naval Academy with him every lunchtime. I thought he was an officer at the United States Naval Academy when I first met him. And then came to know him as obviously one of the outstanding members of the Department of Natural Resources and Land Preservation. Had the great opportunity to watch him as a dad. He was a great dad, great father. Watched both of his children grow up and be outstanding athletes and students and come back to the area. And had a lifelong friendship with Frank. And I can honestly say that in my time in public office, It's hard to remember anyone that was more loved and respected than Frank. You could not find anyone ever to say a bad word about Frank Osler. And we were all better for having him come through our lives. So it's a pleasure for me to be here, and his wife Nancy and family, and I just want to thank you for what you're doing. And I know somewhere down there, as I look at the picture of Frank, in the back of Merkle, there's got to be a basketball hoop hidden away somewhere. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Governor, I'm honored to introduce to you the Comptroller and the Treasurer, Nancy Osler. Nancy.
Good morning, everyone. I would first like to take the opportunity of introducing my beautiful children, our daughter, Paray, her beautiful husband, David, my beautiful daughter-in-law, Jennifer, and my wonderful, beautiful son, Scott. And you'll have to, I'll just apologize, this is very hard for me, so being the emotional member of the family. I know this initiative was championed by many wonderful Department of Natural Resources people, especially John Griffin, Emily Wilson, Meredith Lathrop, who were in present today, and to the number of people that are not, but I do extend my sincerest thanks. And I know this has also been supported by the Board of Public Works, Governor Martin O'Malley, Controller Peter Franco, and of course Treasurer Nancy Cox. And I cannot forget our lifelong friend, Past Baker, Assistant Secretary. Our family is so deeply touched by this extraordinary tribute. I just can't thank you personally enough and extend our heartfelt thanks and gratitude to each and every one of you. I can't think of a more appropriate acknowledgement of Frank's work. He truly loved his job and most importantly admired and loved so many of his people that he was so honored to work aside of. The Merkle Wildlife Sanctuary Center will be a constant reminder to all of us of the impact that he had on so many of our lives, and we miss him truly, but know he is smiling down and very proud of you and us, and thank you again.
Why don't we, could the family all come up, we'll push back our chairs, and if you all could come up here, John has the mock-up of the sign that will rightly be designating Merkle Wildlife.
Work, but one thing we do like is our handy signs that identify people. They mean so much, and Frank obviously sat here for a long time, so we just wanted to let you know that the Board of Public Works Office cares about Frank.
Oh. truly one of the great public servants that Maryland's ever had. Okay. Any other matters on the Secretary's agenda? No. All right. Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move on now to program open space.
Good morning, Governor. Treasurer, Comptroller Meredith Lasbury for the Department of Natural Resources. We have 11 items on the program open space agenda this morning. There are 10 local program open space projects. And I'll bring your attention to the last item, 11A, which is the fiscal 2011 Rural Legacy Grant Award. And we have a short video about that program.
Well, tell me again what this program is.
This is the Rural Legacy Program, which was started 12 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even tell all of us then what Rural Legacy does.
Sure. Well, why don't we go ahead and
Oh, that's what
video.
The video does.
Yeah.
Thank you, board members. As you know, in the past, we normally go out to one of the proposed areas and have an event, but we thought we'd bring it to you this time in the interest of everyone's busy schedules. I did want to recognize Josh Davison in our communications office, who filmed this, and I also want to recognize, if I can, two gentlemen here with me today. Ned Halley is the chair of our Rural Legacy Advisory Board, and, of course, Secretary Rich Hall. The way this works, as you know, is a bottoms-up program. Local governments, land trusts nominate areas that meet certain criteria. They're reviewed by Ned's advisory board, passed on to a board consisting of myself, Secretary Hall, Secretary Hance, who could not be here this morning. And I would just point out, since Ned has been the chair, the board has not made any changes in their recommendations.
It's a reflection of Mr. Halley's wisdom and judgment, no doubt.
No doubt. We have here today, if you wouldn't mind, if I took a moment just to recognize folks in the audience representing areas, if you approve this item. First of all, Elizabeth Zucker and Bill Crouch representing Nanticoke Rural Legacy Area. I want you all to sort of stand if you're not already standing. Bill Amos, Hartford County. Tim Blazer, Frederick County. Cody Shaw, Washington County. Rick Anthony, Anne Arundel County. Sandra Edwards, Eastern Shore Land Conservancy. Catherine Munson, Worcester County. Bill Kilby, Cecil Land Trust. Donna Smith, Queen Anne's County. Charles Rice, Charles County. Phil Hager, Allegheny County. And Deborah Bowers from the Manor Conservancy, which is a rural legacy area splitting part of Baltimore and Hartford counties. If the board approves this item today, over the last 12 years, you might be interested to know that we would be preserving 67,000 acres of land at a cost over that 12-year period of about $204 million to preserve the best of what's left of our rural heritage. We also have on the agenda today the approval of several expansions of existing areas and one new area in Allegheny County. If the board approves this item, we will have at least one rural legacy area in every one of the counties in the state. The fiscal year 11 appropriation was for $12.6 million, and I think there's our staff at Con has a chart here. I think it's in your backup that shows the allocation that, again, was recommended by Ned and the advisory committee and approved by our board to recommend to you. Ned, would you reflect the same?
I would just like to thank the governor and the controller and the treasurer for their support of this program, and I think it just bears repeating that the program is a really terrific program because it allows the people in the local areas to come up into the state picture, and it allows the state to look down on the local areas, and between the combined efforts of everybody and the planning and the great work that Meredith and her group do, it comes out with a really great result of preserving the best that we have left to preserve. And I know that especially in, we already heard the comptroller give a rather dire of evaluation, and I know that it's really tough in this environment, but it's really important to keep these programs funded and keep the big picture in mind, and my hat's off to the governor and to the rest of you for doing that. And I just want to thank you as the chairman of the advisory committee and as a resident of Baltimore County. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Halley, for your service. How often, go ahead, Rich.
Thank you. Very briefly, I just want to add that this is smart growth. This is the areas that we want to protect. And obviously that counterbalances the areas where we want to see growth and economic development. It's also important that we're protecting important environmental lands, but also in protecting resource protection values, agribusiness, forestry, what have you, and that's very, very important as well, not to mention tourism in some instances. And the last thing I'll add is it's been very satisfying the last 2 years to see how we've all gotten smarter and smarter working together across the agencies, the Board of Public Works, and the Advisory Committee in targeting areas where we get the biggest return on investment for land preservation. So thank you, and I think we have a great set of recommendations before you today.
Is there a map showing where these individual purchases are? Am I missing it in my book here? I mean, I see the outline. I see the new areas designated.
Right. The way this works, Governor, is the sponsors recommend. They have, in their whole rural legacy area, they lay out priorities for acquisition. And at the time that I think you award these grants, in general, they're not certain out of the first priority category which exact property will be purchased. Once they know they have the funding, if it's approved, then they go out and negotiate. Those come back up, I think, to the board for approval. But so I think the map up there shows the areas. I don't know that we have one that shows all the properties within each one of them, because it gets fairly extensive.
Because these are actually awards and offers made, rather than we don't know that which ones of these will actually accept the offer.
We have a general sense because the sponsors prioritize them, but we won't. Gotcha. You won't know until the individual contracts.
Mr. Halley, how about the new maps? Are they helpful? You know, the green print and those things.
Yes,
the board makes those evaluations.
They're very helpful. And what you have here is that these are awards of funds to the areas, and then the areas work with the state to actually negotiate the purchases. And until the landowner and the state sign the paper and the Board of Public Works approves the specific deals, they're not, you know, it's not a specific, but it is an area. For example, the Harford County, Deer Creek area, is, you can see it on the map, and as John said, there is a list of farms that people have expressed interest in, and then the local people will negotiate with those people, and they'll get it all finalized, and then Meredith's group will review it, and then you all will approve it, and that's how it works.
I've heard the term perpetual, and I've heard the term 12 years. Is it perpetual?
No,
or
any,
is it 12
any,
years?
Any purchase easement is perpetual.
Okay. And what, it's paid out over 12 years? Or
no, I don't know where the...
That's how long the Rural Legacy Program has been around.
That's how long the program's been in existence, yeah.
But once the purchase is made, it's to purchase those developments.
Perpetual.
In perpetuity.
In perpetuity.
Perpetuity, as they say in Real Property 1.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Interesting. Actually, 12 years ago, the creation of this program was really spurred to a large extent by the Speaker of the House, Casper Taylor. It's interesting that it's today that Allegheny County, the far western county, is being designated as one in addition to the rural legacy areas.
Yes.
It actually attests to Mr. Taylor's true statewide perspective of one Maryland that more than a decade to come home.
An issue that we need to look at next session in conjunction with this policy goal is the whole issue of transfers of land when the owner dies, because asking farmers to sell a chunk of their land to pay the estate tax seems to run really counter to what we're trying to get done here. And one would think that there must be some rational way to marry this program and its policy goals with a better approach to that estate tax, where families are willing and desirous of keeping their land in farming or open space in perpetuity. It would seem that it really runs counter to our goals to force them to sell off a chunk of it for just to pay the estate tax.
Sure. Governor, at your direction, we have a work group that's formed. The comptroller was gracious enough to assign one of his income tax top folks to us and others.
Good.
And we're starting to work through those options, and we'll be back to you with some proposals.
Great. Okay. Anything else on rural legacy?
I guess
I have
only
to say the colonel is muttering about mouth, and that mouth is used to, can be used to some extent when looking at this, the Maryland Agricultural Land Preservation Program, when looking at this.
Well, in fact, in some of these areas, it's a combination of easement purchase.
Distinguish those two things for those of us watching and listening along.
Sure. Maryland Agricultural Land Preservation Program.
Also known as mouth.
Also known as mouth.
Like Ralph.
It's been around since probably the early 70s. It's funded primarily through an allocation from Program Open Space and then a few other sources, federal funding from time to time. And
that program actually purchases the land.
So they purchase
right?
easements.
Or purchase easements.
They have
land.
A board that approves them subject to approval of the Board of Public Works. They tend to focus on agricultural lands based on their soil productivity. That tends to be the focus of that program. Rural Legacy was designed to capture the best of what's left, as Mr. Halley said, of rural landscapes that can involve farming, forestry, tourism, even fee acquisitions for public access, depending upon the proposals that come.
But the public asks, what's the difference between the two? I'm still a little...
One purchases easements
in perpetuity, one purchases the land, one doesn't purchase the land. I mean, how do we explain this for those listening along that are not part of this program, not part of the agricultural community, but are taxpayers? I want to know, what's the difference between mouth, in a nutshell, between the Maryland Agricultural Land Preservation Fund and Rural Legacy?
Ned wants to do this. I'll happily defer.
The difference essentially is that the MALP program focuses on soil productivity, farming productivity, and the Rural Legacy program focuses somewhat on farming, but more on water resources, rivers, valleys, land that may not be so farmable, but it's probably forested land and land that should not be developed, even though you can't necessarily grow crops on it. And that's really the difference. And the two programs often work together because you've got the nice, high, relatively level, productive agricultural land, and then it falls off into a river or a stream, and it's, you know, that way. And so the Rural Legacy program butts up against the MALP program. And
so MALP is designed to preserve the most high-yielding and productive farmland, and Rural Legacy is meant to protect the lands based on their value to the ecological value to the whole watershed.
Exactly. And they're typically contiguous and some overlapping, obviously. And you have people who apply both to MALP and a Rural Legacy, and they see which program's funding and which, but they're essentially, once it goes through the pipeline, it's essentially saying they're both eased properties in perpetuity. It can no longer be subdivided and developed.
Gotcha. And the map helps connect it all.
Correct.
You know, it sounds very reasonable the way you describe it as a coordinated look at what is needed. And I think we forget that it took some years of working very hard to bring all these programs together into one efficient, coordinated program. And I just want to thank you and John and all.
Thank you, ma'am.
It was at one time a very frustrating set of different programs which were not terribly well integrated in the management, except for which I think the MAPS really provided infrastructure for doing.
The MAPS helped, and in the early days it was a little bit of a shotgun and a little sprayed out, and there were some properties that maybe now wouldn't necessarily qualify, but back then, they, you know, so it was a work in progress, and it took some while to get it fine-tuned, but I think it's doing well, and it's heading in the right direction, and needs to be keep funding it.
I mean, even before, there was not really, I know we have an objective criteria on the ecological lands. Do we have a similar objective criteria on the mouth lands?
Yes.
And that's part of the ag print. I mean, we've spoken more often about the green print and the ranking of lands according to their ecological watershed importance. Less attention has gone to something which I think is equally as helpful in the coordination of all of this, which is the map that ranks the agricultural lands,
right.
The ag print, which you can visit by going online at maryland.gov, press the ag icon.
You can also get there on the Smart Green and Growing page as well, Governor. And you are correct, there are parameters, indicators, for the MOUTH program as well. And there's a certification program that goes along with that. So the local governments are able to retain a higher percentage of the local transfer tax if they're certified, and they have to meet certain criteria to be certified, which essentially means a local government program in good standing is one way of putting it. So they have to meet certain criteria to be there, and includes a number of things, including what the local government is doing to enhance state purchases of the property, all going back to enhancing the return on investment, if you will, the public dollars going to preserve rural lands, in this case, agriculture. So the ag print effort under your direction further helped to drive being as smart as possible where to purchase the property.
We need to create a category of farms in good standing. You know.
There's a little bit of that in there, Governor, but yeah, that's certainly more work we could do in that arena.
Okay. Anything else on program open space? Secretary Governor.
Governor, just a request to the board members either an hour before the meeting adjourns. I know the Rural Legacy sponsors who came in from around the state this morning would love to have a picture with the board if that's possible.
Okay.
As
soon as we pass this, we'll do it. Okay. Any other questions on this, Mr. Comptroller?
I just wanted to comment. I mean, I appreciated, John, your leadership on this and so many program open space related issues. And Ms. Lathbury is terrific, and your team is terrific. And I think the governor was, alluding to the criteria that you put in place, and I think that's outstanding. And now I know what MOUTH is. No, I'm only kidding. I knew what MOUTH was, but
all those years on the budget committee,
technical aspects. But I did want to say, I was earlier last week in Easton and visiting the mayor and member of the town council, Megan Cook, I believe was there, and other community leaders, and they were opening up a program, open space playground, that the state had, I think, the grant was in the neighborhood of $69,000. Not a lot of money, I guess, that this board looks at in comparison, but it was like $1 million to that community. And I think it's the Wayland community in Easton. And bought some play equipment and bought a climbing wall. A very embarrassing photo of me in the paper with the mayor climbing the wall. And I went over and put my hand up to boost him up, and wasn't exactly a great picture of being there. But I bring that up just to
we have a video of it.
Yes. I noticed on the agenda, Governor, that there are a number of items for Baltimore County and Allegheny County was mentioned by the treasurer as far as rural legacy. You know, Allegheny County has got a small grant for new lights and bleachers for their Little League park. And I think a lot of people forget that program open space is not just preservation of ecologically sensitive land. It's also enhancement of what we have for our community members. And your staff person who said that these dollars are well spent, believe me, that $69,000 in Easton was well spent. And up in Midland, in Allegheny County for the Little League Park. I hope that I can get out there in the not too distant future when you let me know that it's been done and actually see one of the games.
Absolutely.
And,
I don't think they have a climbing wall there.
So. Yeah, no, we'll skip the climbing wall. But kudos to you and your agency and your staff and, frankly, to the governor and the legislature. But these are dollars that are very much appreciated and utilized by our citizens.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mr. Tom.
Thank you. Any other questions on the program open space agenda items? Hearing none, the treasurer moves approval, seconded by the controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Why don't you all come on down and we'll do a
Thank
picture.
You,
okay. Neglected to mention, I want to say a couple of things. We should have said it at the outset. One is, I want to congratulate the treasurer on her award. Second one in as many weeks, I think, from her colleagues throughout the nation. Our comptroller, Nancy Kopp, received the Distinguished Public Service Award from her colleagues. What's that? Said I? What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Our treasurer, Nancy Kopp. Well, the people that voted for this award knew what the heck she does. Our treasurer, Nancy Kopp, received the Distinguished Public Servant Award from the National Association of said treasurers. So,
it was a surprise and a great honor. I appreciate it. You must come and see the award. It really is very... It's an eagle. It's a little... clock, and then this eagle head.
The meanest looking bird.
The other point of history that I think needs mentioning at this Board of Public Works meeting here on September 1st, 2010, with the announcement last night by President Obama of the end of combat operations in Iraq, is I think all of us in the state are particularly mindful of the supreme sacrifice that was made by so many Maryland families in order for us to be able to complete that mission in Iraq. The service, the self-sacrifice, the commitment to duty and country that has been exhibited over a long, long period of time in a place very far away by Maryland men and women is something that... that all of us should be very grateful of. These are courageous men and women who have left their families sometimes two and three times to serve us over these long, very difficult and bloody years. And all of us in the state salute them for their service and sacrifice. Okay. Next on our agenda is the Department of Budget Management.
Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, good morning. There are 18 items on the Department of Budget Management's agenda for today, and I'd like to withdraw item one. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Item one is withdrawn, and that's relation to?
That was a contract for Charlotte Hall.
And why is it being withdrawn?
Other discussions are going on regarding the contract. We will be bringing it back.
Okay. Can I ask you a couple questions? Now, early on, the comptroller announced that his department had closed out last year's financials and showed that we were above, what was it, Mr. Comptroller, 189?
183 over the 150.
183 over the 150. I just had a few questions by way of follow-up on that. What was our... Our projected fund balance, I assume, at the close then was 150.
Well, when the General Assembly passed the budget bill, at that time they projected that we would close fiscal year 2010 with a fund balance of 150. I thought it was 153 million.
Okay, we're going to turn up your microphone in just a second here. And so that represents, this is 183 million over just for those last
few months of that fiscal year then, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and that's where the additional attainment happened, was
right.
In an upswing in revenues?
Our revenues grew in March, April, May, and June. The overall increase over that period for the year is $183 million. The actual fund balance for fiscal year 2010 ends up being $344 million.
And what areas did the revenues overperform what we all acknowledge was a very, very austere forecast?
The biggest increases were in the income taxes. The individual income taxes were up $109 million. The corporate taxes were up $28.5 million. Sales and use tax were up $40.8 million. So basically those three revenue sources, that's
sales again?
Sales is $40.8
million.
So those three sources account for the bulk of the $183 million that the comptroller referenced.
Gotcha. What was the percentage uptick on those, do you know? I mean, just to give us some context
sure.
on...
The income tax was up 1.8%. The corporate, and that's the individual income tax, the corporate was up 4.3%, and the sales and use was up 1.2%.
1.2. Okay. And those were the primary areas.
And these are, when you say up, it's up over estimates.
Yes.
Not up over last year.
This is over, this is the increase above the estimate.
I think it's
the estimate that we had written down.
Yeah. It's important. That's very good. And it may show, in fact, that things are beginning to turn around because that also coincides with slight upticks in employment.
Right.
In Maryland, mm-hmm. I think the Comptroller is absolutely right about the national instability. And difficulties. But unlike the way the press reported it for Virginia 2 months ago, it's not as though we now have an extra pot of a couple $100 million to spend. In fact, it means that our projections were very conservative, and perhaps rolling into next year that diminishes the projected mm-hmm. deficit by $100 or $200 million, which would be a very fine thing. But I assume that we are not going to take $200 million and just start spending it on things that we hadn't planned otherwise.
Well, that was my next question. How does this, I mean, let's assume, so that was a 1.8% overattainment.
Right.
Of what was projected, and we obviously, I mean, we have calculated in a our best estimate on what revenues would do going through FY12 with revenue projections, right? And so my question is, you know, does this revenue improvement since the session, does it, what is, you know, will it ripple through, or if it were to hold constant, I guess, what is the effect of that on 12? If it were for a full year doing that.
You know, I would say that the revenue improvements certainly are going to help us in fiscal year 2011. They're going to help us in 2012. I think this is very encouraging, very positive news. The extent to which they're going to help us is going to depend on what the Board of Revenue Estimates does next month when they meet to revise revenue estimates.
Gotcha. And that will happen when?
The staff probably starts meeting right after Labor Day. I think the actual official report is released on September 16th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, that's
right. So we'll have a better sense for that big question of what this means.
We'll certainly know then what the impact will be in terms of putting the 12 budget together and how it improves 11.
And there's no one on that committee that has a crystal ball either. Right.
Absolutely not.
I keep looking for the crystal ball.
But I would emphasize that this is very positive news, and certainly the last 4 months of fiscal year 2010 were the best revenue news you've had since being governor.
Well, I appreciate the hard work done. As I said, you know, the estimates have been, I mean, this has been an unprecedented time, but the professionalism and the estimates and the revisions are things I think that contribute to that AAA bond rating when people see the years of service and the wisdom and the judgment that's being brought to bear on a very volatile economic landscape. I appreciate everybody's good work, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, and Madam Secretary.
It's also interesting that August was,
I believe, the first time that any significant number of military boots were on the ground in Maryland from BRAC, from base reclosings. And they will go into the future, the increase of employment, the jobs that were brought in that we've been talking about for a long time and will finally be in next year. I assume they have already been rolled into projections. But the fact is that those jobs are now coming in here. The people are now coming in here. If you drive in those areas, you can sense a feeling of renewed vigor, I think. So all of these programs, not just the people here already, but the people who are coming in.
We've had 4 months in a row of unemployment decline.
Right.
It's
no coincidence. An accident.
Okay. Right. Anything else on the board on the Department of Budget Management agenda items? Hearing none, Comptroller moves approval. Seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. We move on now to the University System in Maryland.
Good morning, Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 11 items on the agenda today. Here to answer any questions.
Mr. Evans, make sure you tell the President how he's getting rave reviews here at the Board of Public Works.
I'll do it.
Governor, I've mentioned this project before, and I will again. This is a very small piece of it, but number two, the physical science, the new physical science complex is going to be a great internationally recognized building. When this project is finished, it's going to be one more very major asset to the state of Maryland and the university. This is just
I'm not seeing that. Where is that?
Number two.
It's to buy equipment for the building, but I think the treasurer is just referring to the overall project.
The whole project, right. Which is not here, but I'm reminded of
it. I also like to shoot the university at College Park when last week they were awarded gold certification for the journalism building, which is the first gold.
Wow. I know what I wanted to mention on this. Princeton Review named me a month ago the University System of College Park the most sustainable university in the country for implementation of green practices, recycling, energy conservation, gold buildings, LEED certified buildings. That's a pretty huge accomplishment, and I don't think I've read enough about it in the newspaper. What are we doing to celebrate that, Mr. Evans, and to let the public know that we're, you know, not only have we held college tuition to 0% increases for 4 years, but at the same time we've made progress on one of the most important imperatives of our day, which is figuring out ways to live more sustainable lives.
I'll let Mr. Sterling do that since he's from College Park.
And, of course, I can't stand here and tell you about any specific plans. Our website has touted those achievements. We have an Office of Sustainability that I'd like to say is probably one of the best in the country. Another thing to note, I think in the same Princeton Review rankings, we had the number one athletic facilities in the country as well. And last I heard, I think we avoided the party school list.
That's good.
We
have an effort underway with the military bases and agencies throughout the state, 58, 68 of them. And we'd very much like for whoever your lead person was on your sustainability efforts to be a part of that effort. And John Griffin, who I hope is taking Frank's family out to lunch right now, is the person to connect you into that group. I mean, it was unprecedented. We had the Secretary of the Navy, and we had over at the Naval Academy last week, Secretary of the Navy, the Director of the EPA Administrator, I always want to call her Director Administrator of the EPA and the base commanders or their facilities person from all of the bases in Maryland all gathered around the table to figure out how can we, given the campuses, the populations, the land that we cover within our state, figure out ways to live more sustainable lives in terms of all of the things that you all just got the number one award among all universities for having accomplished. It wasn't Harvard, it wasn't Yale, it wasn't Princeton, it was University of Maryland College Park that's the lead sustainable campus. And what you've done, especially any how-to templates that you've looked at, you know, action items, could be very useful to this military work group.
I can I'll put Scott Lupin, who's our director of our Office of Sustainability, in contact with Mr. Griffin.
Because I don't remember us ever approving for you a line item that said, you know, $400 million to become the number one most sustainable campus in the country. I mean, it's something you did with your smarts and with innovation from within the budgets you had. And I'm sure there was a couple percentage points maybe on some of these buildings, but you calculated that you're getting those back. And what's more, you're contributing to the Clean Horizons Initiative and joining your buying power in terms of long-term purchase power agreements. And it's a really great story, and it's all within the shadows of the nation's capital. And I think we need to promote that in a time when many of us have become all too cynical about our ability to adapt and change and be the great Americans that today's challenges demand of us. So please figure out how you get in that loop with the bases, but number two, figure out how we do a better job of promoting this.
I'll pass that along, and I don't want to leave without saying there's a considerable amount of effort on the part of our student body in pushing some of these initiatives. And they collaborate with the administration, work on committees and work groups on just about every issue that you've heard about.
Oh, you could tell. When I was in the lunchroom, I was asking the students, hey, how did we get this award? Are you aware of this? And they were, and many of them were freshmen, but the ones that had been there last year were certainly, yeah, we do this, and we've got, you know, these, whatever it was, their lunch trays are recyclable from reprocessed wheat chaff. And
we do have green roofs on the dining halls, and don't forget, when you come down to cut the ribbon, they're supposed to serve a salad from the roof.
Salad from the roof. Great. And cornstarch cups and all of that sort of stuff. It was really good. Have you done anything with regard to looking at your campus in terms of, you know, reducing the area that you, where you mow the grass? And I know it's hard on college campuses. We have these views that they're all supposed to be never-ending acres of finely cut and fertilized lawn. But have you looked at reforestation? Or?
I'm not familiar with that. I mean, we do have a forest conservation plan that we've implemented where we've set aside some substantial portions of around the fringe of the campus where we still have some forested land. But it's, as you know, an urban campus.
Right.
Not a lot of opportunities for green space.
But there's room to buffer some of the creeks and streams, which no doubt must.
And we are doing that. That's
yeah.
Where the conservation.
I'd love to see that geo-design or, you know, those geo-design aspects I'm not aware of. In fact, anything. If you got. Why don't next time you come to the Board of Public Works, why don't you put together a short presentation, not unlike what we just did with the MALF and the Rural Legacy programs. If you could do that on your award, the Princeton Review thing, that might be a very good way to get this out.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest in coming here to do that.
Good. It's important, and it would be helpful for our departments because we're all trying to reduce our carbon footprint, save the land. Save the air, save the water, save the energy, right, Hazen? Al Collins leading the way. Okay, I'm running on at the mouth. Anything else on the University System of Maryland? Hearing none, Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. We move on now to the Department of Information Technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Elliot Schlanger, Department of Information Technology. This morning we have four items on our agenda, and I'd be happy to take any questions at this time.
Hearing none, Treasurer, Ms.
Well,
no, I'm sorry.
Let me did thank the Secretary personally, but I just want to say that as of right now, the state retirement agency's Great Impasse project, our new very large IT project, has come to completion. The first stage of it, as the result of tremendous work on behalf of on the part of not just the retirement agency staff, but the DO-IT staff and consultants as well. It is, I think, a model of how agencies can work together to accomplish something that many, many people thought couldn't be done, and to accomplish it efficiently and well and move us out of what really was an age of a dinosaur legacy system into the first stage of the new 21st century system. And on behalf of the comptroller, who is vice chair of the board and whose agency itself has gone through a great major IT project, and myself as the chair, we just want to thank you very much on behalf of our entire board and the agency and the secretary, who is a member of the board. It really, when it was announced at our last board meeting, people were just stunned. Isn't fair, because we assumed it would be done well, on time, under budget, but to have it actually done is great.
Madam Treasurer, I thank you for those kind comments, and I especially enjoy the part where we fight over who takes the credit. But it was surely a team effort, and we got a good result. So thank you again.
Mr. Schlanger's a humble person. He was named one of the 100 top CIOs in America a number of years back, and we're fortunate to have him in the public sector, and he does Elliot, you're doing a terrific job. We went through a long number of years when the rest of the world was implementing technology innovations that save money, that improve efficiency and effectiveness, and for some reason, Maryland was adrift, and we just didn't do that for a 4 or 5 year period of time. And even in these times of austerity, you're figuring out ways to get things done, and all of us appreciate it. You're unsung hero of moving us forward here, so thank you. And tell your staff we appreciate their good work as well.
And I thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Elliot. Okay, anything else on the DO-IT agenda? Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it.
Thank you.
Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Governor, Madam President, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, Beverly Swain Staley, representing the Maryland Department of Transportation. We have 25 items today. We have withdrawn item 19M. For the record, items 1C and 21S have been previously submitted as revised items.
I was just noticing item 1, which is another.
Do you want to tell us about item 1?
Part of the energy savings contract, and I think DBS actually led the effort on this with regard to the contract with TEPCO, and they were just continuing to implement, and this brings MAA facility into those contracts.
Madam Treasurer, it's Maryland Aviation Administration took advantage of the contracts you've approved for DGS and actually used this as part of their system to develop this phase 2 of this project, and it's part of our energy database savings that you hear from time to time.
I noticed part of it is a photovoltaic system. That's very good. Something else I guess the people would like to know about it. Anybody told?
We're going to promote all of that as we get these new features rolled out.
Okay.
Governor, I just had a question on an item, if I may. Item 7M, Madam Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure this is necessary, but it seems like a lot of money for a snow melting operation. I'm just wondering what your assessment is of this particular vendor. It's almost $17 million for snow melting equipment at the airport, and I noticed that even if it doesn't snow, we pay $400,000 a year. Is this something that you couldn't share with SHA or MTA? Don't they have snow melting equipment too?
We all do, but as we learned last winter, when we have some of our larger snows, they all need to have the equipment, and unfortunately they all need it at the same time, since we're required to melt the snow on the runways at the same time that we're required, particularly with some of the highways. And it's just one of those unfortunately but necessary things that we have to have available hopefully we will not experience another winter like we had last winter with our 3 record blizzards, but we need to make sure that when we do, we have the equipment that we need. And last year, even with all the equipment that we had, we still were bringing in equipment from places like Massachusetts and Pennsylvania to deal with the volumes that we had.
And is there any way to get competition in a bid like this, or is AeroSnow about it?
Well, unfortunately, because of the type of the equipment and they have to be available on the emergency basis, also because, again, when we tend to have the largest snows, we are not always the ones who are willing to pay the most. So that's the reason that we retain the vendors like this, for example, in advance of knowing actually what our needs are going to be, because otherwise we wouldn't have them available. But they need to also be prepared to basically for us to come to us, as opposed to going to maybe somebody who'd be willing to pay more once that snow begins to fall. So.
And this is how other airports do it?
This is how, yes, we do. It's
done in the industry. Okay. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
Okay. The Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The Department of Transportation items are approved. We now go to the Department of General Services agenda items.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. The Department of General Services has 43 items, including 2 supplementals on our agenda. We have revised item 6GM, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
Okay, hold on a second. One.
Oh, the lottery location, the 3 leases. Yes, sir. We have 3 agencies located at Montgomery Park in Baltimore. This represents a reduction lease and also a continuation. This represents part of our strategy to look at our long-term leases, to negotiate with the landlords a reduction in the square footage cost, and in trade-off, we do some reductions in those particular leases. We've been in this facility. It is the first LEED certified green building that the state ever leased some years ago. It works out great for the agents that are located there.
The one with the huge
green
room?
Yes.
The huge green room. From former Montgomery Ward's building.
I guess my question is, do you have an overall plan for state agencies in the Baltimore area as far as being in state space where possible, as opposed to long-term leases?
We do. Actually, Michael Gaines, Assistant Secretary, Department of General Services, we do, Mr. Comptroller, have a plan that we are executing as a result of the governor's executive order to find a way of having more efficient and effective occupancies throughout the state. And as you know, Baltimore City has a larger concentration of offices, and what we're doing is looking at ways of consolidating agencies and moving out of lease space where we have the opportunity into state-owned space. But where we're not able to do that, we are working with landlords and trying to be more effective and efficient, lowering our occupancy costs, trying to find ways of being in more sustainable spaces.
Okay. And part of that is the long-term lease and the dollar amounts that we see.
Yeah, sometimes in negotiating with the landlords in order to get reductions in rent, we add a few more years on the term. And that way the landlords are able to amortize those additional costs over a longer term. But we get the benefit of reduced costs over those the term of the lease as well.
Okay. If there is a comprehensive strategic plan that you could share with members of the board, that would be great. If
yes.
If it's something that is available. Thank you.
At the same time, sometimes the long-term lease is what enables you to return huge parcels
That's
back
correct.
Onto the tax rolls. So it's
That's correct.
It's a balancing act that we try to perform. Where we have great facilities where we've been in long-term, and this is a great, again, green building, we try to figure out how that fits into the portfolio. But we look at when you just got things to the board's approval, State Center is going to be developed. We looked at backfilling state agencies there and looking at the entire portfolio. So it all fits together in a mosaic as we try to move forward.
I think it's more a process. I mean, what interests me is more a process of how you think these things
are variable
to take into consideration. And that ought to be transparent and public.
That's correct.
As well, in tough economic times, the state, because of its activity, oftentimes is the generator of economic activity, which does help the creation of jobs and sustain revenue throughout the region.
Okay. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions in the Department of General Services, agenda items? Hearing none, the Comptroller votes approval, seconded by the Treasurer. Or moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. And this concludes our meeting of the Board of Public Works. Very good.